I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter number 3. Hosea chapter 3. This morning I introduced the sermon title, and it is this: Fearing His Goodness in the Latter Days. Hosea chapter 3. Once you find Hosea chapter 3, find verse number 4. That's where I'll begin reading. And why don't you go ahead and stand with me, please. Hosea chapter 3, starting with verse number 4. Hosea chapter 3, verse number 4. And I'm going to read through the first verse of chapter number 4. Hosea chapter 3, starting with verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, or without an ephod, or without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return, and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Verse number 5, it talks about they shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. And let's pray. Father, bless tonight as we discuss the Scripture. Lord, may we leave here being better than when we came in. Thank You for the powerful truth that's found in these words in the book that You wrote. Give us a lesson tonight, Father, that will change us and help us, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Very possibly, I could say that this passage of Scripture could have a little bit of a prophetic meaning to it. That because it's talking about in the latter days or later on in the lifetime of something. But it talked about the fear of the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. Now, let me tell you, if there is a bit of prophecy in this, it could be very good for America in the days as we approach the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. America ought to be fearing God. And if there is a country on the face of the earth that has experienced the goodness of God, God has blessed America. The book of Hosea sometimes can be a little challenging to understand. There's some meanings in it that are a little different, if you will. But what's going to be said tonight will not be that way. It will not be difficult to understand. What a statement. It said, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness. Now, I knew that we should fear His wrath, but I didn't know we were to fear His goodness. And I think we all knew that we ought to fear His judgment. But I had not thought about fearing His goodness. I knew that we should fear His vengeance. And so you know, vengeance is God. It's never ours. God has the right to have vengeance. You and I, we do not have the right to have vengeance. And I knew we should fear the vengeance of the Lord. But I'd never thought about the possibility of needing to fear the goodness of the Lord. I think we should fear His fury. But I didn't know we should fear His goodness. I knew that we should fear His anger. And again, you and I, when we have rage, it's wrong. When God has anger, it's right. See, everything God does is always right. And I knew that we should fear His anger, but I didn't ever give any thought to fearing His goodness. I knew that you and I should fear His displeasure, but I never thought we'd need any have any reason to fear His goodness. I thought we should always fear His chastisement, but I didn't ever think we'd need to fear His goodness. I thought, well, I know that we should fear His condemnation on things, but I didn't know we'd need to fear His goodness. But God said there's something that we ought to fear in regard to the goodness of God. Now, whatever it means by fearing His goodness, I think it will be expected of America because of the great goodness that has been bestowed upon America. And then I could even apply it to our church. Boy, have we seen the goodness of God upon our church. So I would say to America, whatever this fearing God's goodness is, America ought to set up in the latter days and make sure that they're practicing a proper fear about this concept of God's goodness. Then I would say to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, God has been very good to us. And with that in mind, we too then ought to properly fear whatever this fear for God's goodness is. I think that we at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church ought to express it. And I got to tell you something personally. I've had the blessing of God on my life, and I recognize it. I don't think there's anything special about me, but I certainly recognize the goodness of God in my personal life. And I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, and the Bible talked about fearing the goodness of God. I got to thinking, boy, I want to make sure that I do personally. Jeff Owens fears the goodness of God, and whatever it means, I want to do it, because I want to tell you, God sure has been good to me. I've been through some tough times, but boy, the goodness of God has so far and powerfully overshadowed the difficult times in my life. I thank God for His goodness to me, and I want to fear God. Now, you all, whether you know it or not, you have been greatly blessed, and you too should be careful with whatever this thing is about fearing the goodness of God. Well, let's take a look at it, and let's see if we can figure out what about the goodness of God should there be fear attached to it. Well, first of all, I think this. I think we should fear losing the goodness that God bestows upon us. I think we ought to fear losing it. Psalm 31 verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Now notice, it says that goodness is laid up. It's laid up for them that fear Him and them that trust Him. Does God react? Is it possible that maybe God would retract some goodness from us if we don't fear Him, if we do not trust Him? Folks, you ever heard that statement that the absence makes the heart grow fonder? Would you like to appreciate the goodness of God a little more? Does He need to retract a little goodness to get you to realize how good of a God that He is? Folks, listen, wherever you're at, God's been good to you. And if you say, "Oh no, God's not been good to me," you're a liar. Them's virtually fighting words to me, because I will defend God. And God has been good to you, and or you'd be in hell right now. And anything better than hell, I'll guarantee you. But even far beyond that, God's been good to you. Will you have to lose sight of some goodness to recognize the goodness that you have made available to you? Hey, do you fear losing God's goodness in your life? When the Bible talks about the fear of His goodness, I don't think God is saying that you have to be scared of Him being good. I think God is saying you better fear your relationship with the goodness of God. How about in church? Does God need to withdraw His hand from our church for our church to realize how good God has been to our church? You ever seen God withdraw His hand from a church? Oh my, it's a terrible, terrible thing. You know what? Every church ought to take a good long look at the goodness of God that's upon them and thank God for His goodness and recognize that goodness. And hey, everybody that's a member of this church, you ought to fear our losing touch with the goodness of God upon the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. So, I think when God uses those words, fearing the Lord and His goodness in the latter days, I think God is saying, you ought to fear losing the goodness of God in your life. But then secondly, do you fear God's goodness becoming commonplace with you? Commonplace. You know, Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Note, all the days of my life. His goodness is evidence all the days but we don't usually recognize it all the days. And I think you and I ought not just fear losing the goodness of God. I think we ought to fear losing track of the fact He's good all the time. He is good all the time. And what does God have to do some big, miraculous, spectacular blessing on your life for you to say, wow, God's good? Folks, God was good before you got that big miraculous event or blessing coming into your life. But you know, we recognize the goodness of God when God's really pouring it on. Hey, God was pouring it on before He started pouring it on, buddy. And so sometimes we seem to think that I'm just waiting on God to bless me real big. Well, won't you just recognize what He did yesterday? Because He was good yesterday. And He was good the day before that. And He was good the day before that. He said, but I don't see it. Well, you're the one that's got bad eyesight. God's good all the time. And God's good to you all the time, whether you believe it or accept it or not. Is He so good to you on a daily basis that it all bleeds together and you don't even notice it anymore? Are you so accustomed to His goodness that you don't even see that goodness? I'll give you an illustration. Brother and Mrs. Nofsinger are very kind to my wife and I. And Brother Nofsinger, you forgive me if I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Every week, Brother and Mrs. Nofsinger come by our house, Mrs. Owens' house. He goes to our door and he hangs a little bag with snacks in it. Mrs. Owens' favorite and my favorite. And then she eats mine. Miss Owens thinks God's good all the time, but every week without fail, and they've been doing it now for years, they come by my home, they leave a little snack. Brother Nofsinger, I've tried really hard every week to thank you for your goodness to me. But thank you very much. But you know, it could be easy for Brother Nofsinger to come by and leave that little snack because it's a weekly thing, 52 weeks a year, years after years. It could be easy for me to forget what a treat that is. And I might just begin to expect it. Matter of fact, if he didn't bring it by, we could sit around and say, what's wrong with the Nofsingers? Can I tell you all something? God drops a snack bag by your house every day. Every day. But because you get so much, he's got to bring a truckload by your house to get you to say, wow, God's good. Well, God was good before the truck came by. And what happens to us, God's so good to us, it becomes commonplace. And you and I, we ought to fear God's goodness becoming common in our thinking. Hey, what goodness of God initially was noticed by you and is now ignored by you? Remember when God did something for you the first time, you said, wow, whew, that's great. Now He does it all the time, but it's not great anymore. I've got news for you. God always has been good, always has been great, and it's you and I that have the problem. We cease to recognize the goodness and the greatness of our God, but He's as good as God, and He is as great a God as He's ever been. So when the Bible says we ought to fear the goodness of God, it's not talking about us being fearful of what God, the goodness might do to us. It's us being fearful in regard to our relationship with the goodness of God. You ought to fear losing that goodness in your life. You ought to fear that goodness becoming commonplace in your life. Then, do you fear wasting His goodness? Wasting it. Psalm 33:5 says, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Wow. And it's true. The earth is full of His goodness. I believe America is full of His goodness. Now, I believe the Twin Rivers Baptist Church is full of His goodness. And I can tell you this, as pastor, God sure has been good to this old boy. God sure has been good to me. My life is full of His goodness. His goodness is there in abundance. Now, can I tell you something about abundance? Any time the human race has more of something than what they need, you know what we do with it? We waste it. We waste it. It's a basic character flaw of man. When you have more than what you need of anything, you become careless and wasteful with it. Growing up, now there's a lot of great stories about growing up. I'm going to have to tell you, I grew up in lower middle class. We were not starving to death. Snow did not blow through the cracks of our house. We were warm enough, but we didn't get a lot of new clothes. We had some hand-me-downs. We didn't get candy all the time. Matter of fact, we did not get a lot of chocolate at our house, and for a couple reasons. One, I think Mom was trying to keep me off the sugar. You ought to see me on sugar. It's like caffeine. But, you know, there was some expense to it, and if you had to choose whether you're going to have staple food or candy, you had to go with that would keep you alive, although I think I could live off of chocolate. Chocolate comes from a bean, which makes it a vegetable, but that's neither here nor there. Well, growing up, we didn't get a lot of chocolate. I'll never forget this. My daddy was a trucker. And my dad did a run up to Hershey, Pennsylvania. And back then, the way it worked, if they would load down a truck and they'd move it from one spot to another and they'd check it all in, if there was an extra crate of something, they'd leave it on the truck or give it to the trucker. Well, my dad had gone up to Hershey, Pennsylvania, picked up a whole semi-truck full of Hershey bars. He took them to wherever they were going, Diet Spot USA, and dropped them off. And he had a whole case of Hershey chocolate bars left. I'll never forget, he brought them home. Boy, he threw them in the back of his car when he got back to the terminal, and he brought them home, and he brought them to the house, and he carried this big case of Hershey bars in, set them on the table. Me and my brother, like, it was like we were already high on sugar. But we're getting these chocolate bars, and it was fantastic. You know, and I didn't get chocolate a lot. I can remember after about 3 weeks, I was sitting on the back porch of the house. First of all, I'd had just about all the chocolate I could handle for the day. And sitting right beside me was my dog, Spot. And I was feeding Spot my chocolate, too. Now, you shouldn't give your dog chocolate. I learned that. In a variety of ways, made my dog sick, then made the carpet in our house sick, which made me sick because my mother put me through a process to make me understand you don't do that. But, you know, I wouldn't have wasted one piece of chocolate, you know, a couple months previous because I never got it. Now I have so much of it. I'm giving it to the dogs, to the birds, and to everybody. I'm wasting it. I'm wasting it. Can I tell you something, folks? God is so good to us. I think there are times when we waste the goodness of God. He's given us so much, we waste recognizing those blessings. Do you waste the preaching and the truth, the blessing of the truth of the Word of God that comes your way? Do you fear missing goodness in God's house? The Bible says in Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou chooseth and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Here the Bible's talking about the goodness of the house of the Lord. Now folks, whatever you do, don't waste the goodness of God that's made available to us here in the house of God. Don't miss the goodness of the kind of music we've heard today. You know, the music that we've heard here this morning and this evening, great music. Don't waste the friendliness and the unity of a church like this and the servant type attitude that we have around here and the love that our church has. Don't waste that. Absorb it. Realize that's a wonderful thing. Hey, point out God's goodness to people. God warned us. He said, now, you be careful. He said, in the latter end, there's going to be a problem with the goodness of God. People are not going to fear the goodness of God. It's not talking about being petrified, being scared out of your wits of the goodness of God. It's talking about your relationship in regard to the goodness of God and how you see it and how you respond to it. You ought to fear losing that goodness. You ought to fear that goodness becoming so common that you don't even notice it. You shouldn't waste the goodness of God. But not only that, I think we ought to fear becoming prideful or arrogant about the goodness of God. In Psalm 31:19 it says, "O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought." Notice, it's his goodness, thy goodness. It says, "which thou hast wrought." That thou is in reference to God. Hey, folks, God is good, not me. God is good. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good. Now, we all attempt to do good, but you want to talk about the greatest do-gooder. It was Jesus Christ, and it is God. Hey, God's goodness to you is because He is wonderful, not because you are. And always keep that in mind. And might I say here, I'm telling you, I think we should fear becoming arrogant about God's goodness. Look, if God's been good to you, I'd be careful strutting around like, "Hey, look how God treats me. I'm special." I think all of us ought to praise God for His goodness, but God's goodness, He deserves the credit for that, not you. If God's done something good for you, be careful you don't go exalting you and letting it be known. Look, if you were like me, God would be treating you like this. I'm sorry. God is treating you well because it is God that is good, not the recipient that it seems to be the bright morning star. It's not that way. Be careful that you do not flaunt His goodness in a prideful way. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're ever able to be good to someone else, do you realize the only reason you can be good to someone else is because God has been good to you? But you know what happens? We acquire an ability to be good, and then we're good, and then when we want credit for being good, like we're the ones that put the air in the sky that we breathe, and we're the ones that created the food that we eat to stay alive, and maybe we're the ones that created the globe on which we stand. Folks, every goodness you have ever done unto someone else, you only did it because God was good to you, and you became a transfer component in the whole thing. And it's really not all about you, it's all about Him. And so when you're able to be good to someone else, why don't you give credit to whom credit is due? It's God being good to them through you. And that's why I say, I think we ought to fear becoming arrogant about the goodness of God. Let's fear becoming prideful about the goodness of God. God said in Hosea chapter 3 verse 5, He said, "Fear the Lord and His goodness." What did He mean? Fear losing that goodness. Fear that goodness becoming commonplace. Fear wasting that goodness. Fear becoming arrogant about that goodness. And then, fear replacing God's goodness. Replacing it. Let me explain. Let me give you a passage of Scripture first. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 8, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Here the Bible says we're to praise God for His goodness. You know, the greatest thing that God gives us is Himself. Himself. Have you replaced a desire for Him with a desire for getting something from Him? And what I mean is this. The greatest thing God gives you is God. Most of us are attached to the benefits of God and not to the God of the benefits. Your Christianity is on the right level when you want God more than you want what you can get out of Him. Young people, you ought to love your mom and dad. And there's going to come a day when you better stop and realize it's not just because of what you can get out of them, what they can provide for you, what they can give you. It was a miraculous day in my life when I realized I wanted my mom and dad. I wanted them. I wasn't trying to get anything out of them. Now, I'm glad that they were willing and they could provide my needs and I could ask. But I think the day that I wanted to convince my mom and dad, "I love you I want you more than I want what you can provide. It was a really big day in my relationship with them. Folks, we ought to fear substituting the goodness of our God for the God of the goodness. Let me say it again. We ought to fear substituting the goodness of God for the God of the goodness. God's good all the time. But the best thing for you to do, want God first, and then want what He can provide later. But too many of us, we want to use God like a credit card. I'll pull you out and use you when I need you. But until then, you're going to stay in the dark purse or in the dark wallet, out of sight, out of mind. That's not how it works with God, and that's not how God wants it. Some of us are more attracted to what we can get out of Him than we are attracted to Him. And you know, to prove that, let me tell you this. How important is prayer to you when you don't want anything? I'll tell you, when people get down to the nitty-gritty in prayer, when you want something. When was the last time you had a long, deep, powerful season of prayer? Just because you wanted to be with God. You think God ever gets tired of that? You think He ever gets tired of us constantly coming saying, gimme, 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 gimme. Okay, I got to go, God. I'll be back tomorrow to beg for some more. Now, I'm for prayer, and I'm for asking. I think it'd be good for every Christian in this house tonight someday to go to God and say, God, I didn't come to ask for anything today. What do you want, Jeff? I just came to be with you. If you wouldn't mind, could I just be with you? I just want to be in your presence. I think God would say, my, you just want to be with me? I said, yes, sir. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but all that other stuff, it's just bait. What do you mean bait? God's trying to get you to come be with Him. And the human race is so interested in themselves if He doesn't offer to give you something. You young people that ride the bus to church, don't ever develop the attitude, well, what are you going to give us on the bus? To make up your mind whether you ought to come to Sunday school or not. You ought to come to Sunday school because it's right. Because you want to be in church. And if you get a toy or a trinket or a candy bar, what a bonus. But do you know how many Christians come for the candy bar but won't come unless there's going to be a candy bar? Listen, fear the goodness of God and the greatest goodness of God that He is willing to give Himself to us. Don't ever replace God for the benefits of God. Want God, accept the benefits. God first, benefits from God second. And I say, fear replacing God by putting His benefits above Him. Let me give you a couple more and we'll be done. I think we ought to fear God, and we ought to fear the possibility of our developing an attitude that we don't need Him anymore. You say, because of what? Because of His goodness. Case in point, the United States of America. America needed God when she was founded. And then God blessed America. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies and amber waves of grain, purple mountains' majesty above the fruited plain. God blessed America so much. America got cocky and arrogant and decided, we don't even need God anymore. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 25 and 26, let me read a verse to you. Two verses. It says, and they took strong cities and fat land and possessed houses full of goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards, fruit trees in abundance, so that they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in the great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient. The Bible says they were just blessed to overflowing, but nevertheless, thereafter, they were disobedient. It's about the children of Israel. They had gone into the promised land, into Canaan. They took over strong cities, fat lands. When the Bible uses the term fat, the Bible is talking about prosperity. Right here is the prosperity of God. says their houses were full of goods like ours, and your garage and your pantry and boxes and storage, and their wells were full of water. New Bern is definitely full of water. They had their vineyards, their olive yards, that's precious oil, their fruit trees, they did eat, and they became prosperous. They were delighted in the great goodness, and the Bible says in verse 26, nevertheless, they were disobedient. They had so much goodness upon them, they did not need Him. This sounds like a silly statement, but I'm going to make it. Is God too good to you? Is God too good to you? Are you so healthy you don't appreciate health? Hey, all it takes is one bump and one little shadow on the x-ray and you'll be freaking out. Are you so healthy you don't need God? Are you so financially secure that you don't need God's goodness? Hey, are you so talented that you don't need God? Hey, Sunday school teacher, are you such a good teacher that you can teach in your personality and you don't need the Spirit of God? You got it. Hey, musician, has God been so good to you? Have you developed that spiritual ability to the point that you say, get out of the road, God, I can handle this? Folks, let's not ever do what we do for God in our own power and our own strength. Let's make sure that we are always recognizing the goodness of God in our lives. You see, the point is, God can be so good to us, we stop needing Him. If you're good with music, if you're a good musician, can I recommend you continue to need God while you do it? Are you real good with your Sunday school class? Let me tell you something. You better be careful getting so good with your Sunday school class so you don't need God anymore. I've watched preachers who learned how to structure a sermon. They learned how to tell a joke. They learned how to fluctuate the volume of their voice. They knew to have an introduction. They knew to throw a poem in there every once in a while, quote a verse, sing a part of a song, and have an invitation. And they got so good at it that they ceased to walk with God. And they became empty, hollow entertainers. Folks, no matter how good you get at anything, you still need God. And if you have become good at something spiritually, God has been good to you. But don't you let that goodness cause you to no longer need the God that was good to you. He's your source. One more point and I'm done. Do you fear becoming ungrateful for His goodness? The Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." When was the last time you described God's great goodness to you or your church on Facebook? What do you got to talk about? How good you are? When's the last time you described the great goodness of God at work? Parents, let me tell you something that's real good in child rearing. Be pointing out the goodness of God in your life continually to your children. Because if all they ever hear is, this isn't going well, this isn't going right, this is falling apart, this is bad, oh, everything's so terrible. Well, don't be shocked if your kids don't grow up with a this is so terrible life. This is good life. Hey, do you express your gratefulness about the goodness of God to the people around you, to your family, at work, to your children? And could I recommend that you express your recognition of the goodness of God to God? Just have a conversation with Him sometime and say, boy, You sure have been good to me. I love that little song, God is so good. God is so good, and God is so good to me. Now, the scripture kind of tripped me up a little bit at first. I was reading it, and it says, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. And I began to realize what God was saying was, His goodness could pretty easily be mishandled by us. And we had better fear mishandling that goodness in regard to our attitudes and our approach to the great goodness of God. The question tonight is this: do you fear your behavior in regard to the goodness of God? And if so, push the reset button. Stop looking at that you heard the old saying about you're either a half empty or a half full kind of a Christian. It's talking about a glass. You fill the glass halfway up. There are some that say that thing's half full. There are others, all they see is that it's half empty. We ought to become half full people. Don't be the half empty people. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, I want to welcome you to the Savior. I want to invite you to the Savior. If you died tonight and you don't know for a fact you'd go to heaven, you ought to get born again. The great God of the universe loves you. He made a salvation available to you. And if you need to be saved, I wish you would. The best decision you'll ever make. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I do not know that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Pray for me about that. Would you raise your hand and I'll pray for you? I won't embarrass you. All right, good, good. Then, is there anybody here that would say, Preacher, I probably need to push the reset button in regard to my relationship to the goodness of God? I can see where some of the things taught tonight, they apply to me. And God has spoken to my heart about the goodness of God and me fearing my behavior about it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Amen. You may put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need this altar, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. If you need to come up here and maybe you have a burden or a heartache, you know what this altar's for and you know what this invitation time is for. If you need it, you come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Do you recognize the goodness of God? Do you recognize it daily? Do you have to have a catastrophic blessing, a major event for you to say God's good? He said, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. I wonder if there is some prophecy in this. I wonder if God's saying in the latter days, God has been so good to the human race, they just can't recognize it anymore. They're so spoiled. Their needs have been met in abundance. And God said, in the latter days, you're going to have a hard time getting people to recognize the goodness of God. God is saying, fear your misappropriation. Fear your missing that goodness. Fear your emotion being placed somewhere other than in a belief in the goodness of God. You believe in the goodness of God by faith, but you can believe it by fact. I have faith that God's good, but I tell you something, I don't really need a whole lot of faith. All I got to do is open my eyes and see it. Thank God I have faith that God's good, but I have fact that God's good because I see it every day of my life. Every day of my life. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh, how great is Thy goodness which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee. Is God so good to you that you forget how good He is to you?